Hello, all. This is Blonde Haired Girl. This is a story time. I hope it's pertinent to you. I oftentimes when I'm talking to the people in my life, I will ask them, "Are you interested in this story?" Because I'm always telling stories, and it occurs to me that maybe people aren't really that interested in my stories. And also being mindful of not completely taking over conversations. You know, I notice that I try very hard to have conversations in my life be balanced, where I'm not just talking at people. I prefer not to do that. Anyway, it is the 28th of December 2023. Very strangely, when you really get down to thinking about it, it will never be this time again. It will never be this second again. It will never be this day again, this year again. This is the only 29th of December of 2023 that there will ever be. So crazy. Just how, I mean, even outside of time, where supposedly time is not what we think it is, but even if it is what we think it is, it's strange that it will never be that again. And it cannot be the future yet. It's just a crazy thing. But anyway, I dread, I have a sense of a strange inner sense of dread every year at Christmas. I have this like weird thing of excitement. I'm really excited. I'm excited to see everyone. And I also have this sense of dread because of the stress, the dashed expectations that are always, you know, just in trying to not have expectations. Those goals that we had at the beginning of the year that did not come to fruition here, coming on to New Year's. So those of you who know me pretty well know that my mom has passed away in 2021, and her home was a time capsule of our family. It was, and we were going through things as carefully as we could, there was this real push to get everything out of the house and get it ready for sale that I won't get into detail about, but in that push, the furniture that we wanted to have had to be picked out, and all this was done, I think, the week of my mother's funeral. It was, and I packed up as much of my mother's stuff, belongings, that I possibly could. Of the things that I picked out that I was allowed, that my sisters didn't care about me taking, I took. And it was challenging, to say the least. But I had picked out some furniture that was in a room, the spare bedroom, that turned into my bedroom as time went on. I'm trying to think, and I think that it's actually true, that was my room when, before I moved out, which is a whole other story that I won't get into right now. Anyway, well, maybe I will. I'm going to get into this story. This is really crazy. Or maybe not. So my parents were very traditional Catholic people. And, well, I don't believe they were fanatical. They weren't politically fanatical and they weren't religiously fanatical. But within our little circle, it wasn't like they thought everybody else outside of the Catholic Church were lost and doomed and were going to hell. That's not the way they thought. but they really did want us to be Catholic. It was very important to our parents that we be Catholic and marry a Catholic and carry on the Catholic tradition. And so I had gone off to college, and I had done about a year, I know it was a year, at NAU, Northern Arizona University, when it was my last semester of college, and at the beginning, pretty much, and I wasn't doing well anyway, because I had gone through a really bad breakup, when I found out that my dad had passed away. I was 22 years old, but I still had that semester of college. And my mom and I got in a huge argument because I didn't want to come home. I didn't want to move home. And my mom did what Catholic mothers do, and she put a huge guilt trip on me and was, you know, I paid for your education and, you know, this is the least you can do, blah, blah, blah. You wish that it had been your dad that passed, me that passed away rather than your dad. It was a really brutal, heated argument. I don't think she and I had ever fought that badly before. And so I moved home. And it was clear to me that I was not going to be able to leave my family home outside of marriage. That was my only ticket to move away from home. And I don't know if it was like this for other people. And I had friends that we wanted to get an apartment together and everything. And my mom just, she did not want me to move away from home. And so, but in the interim of everything, I had lost what was my bedroom and I was living in this other bedroom. And around the same time, I'm not actually sure when this came into our, it was years earlier that my mother had put my grandmother I guess for lack of a better term, a nursing home or whatever you call them, assisted living, but more acute, I guess they call it. And so my mother had moved all of my grandmother's stuff out of her house and moved it to her house. And so for years in the room that I was living in, there was this bed and this dresser and a nightstand that had come from my grandmother's house. And strangely enough, or maybe not strangely enough, and maybe my mom had the wherewithal to know that this was how it was going to go down, gave me all of the sheets and the bedding for that bed. I don't know how she would have known that I would end up with this set, but, and so I've been trying to explain to my children, you know, the meaning of this bedroom set to me. My grandmother lived in a really small town in Oklahoma. My family is primarily from Oklahoma. And my grandmother was a nurse and took care of people at an Indian hospital, a Native American hospital. They called them Indians back then. It's not proper to do that anymore, but my mother delivered a lot of Native babies. anyway, and every summer back then, people would just save up their time off. And so my parents would take a month off work. I don't know how they did this, and we would drive to Oklahoma and visit their families. And you could imagine back then, it was really a treacherous, horrible drive, because back then you didn't have air conditioning in your car. You were very lucky to have air conditioning in your car back then. I don't even know if they had air conditioning. And they had seat belts that had these great big silver buckles on them and would burn you. And it was hot. And the windows would be open. And there were three getting older girls stuffed in the back seat of the car and mom and dad in the front driving. And it was my sister would go to sing that beer song, 100 bottles of beer on the wall, 100 bottles of beer. Take one down, da 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 da, 99 bottles of beer on the wall. I mean, she would be singing this like for I don't even know how long. My sister. Oh, God. Okay. And we were lucky to have, like, maybe there was a radio, you know, like one of the digital, not the digital kind, but like the kind you have to use a knob to change. And like, if you're lucky, you hit some radio tower and you can pick up on some music. I remember Wasting Away in Margaritaville being one of those songs. Anyway, sorry, have all these memories. And I remember visiting all, you know, our different families. But my grandmother, my mother's mother, who was primarily, so we would visit my mother's mother, then my mother's aunt, Aunt Grace. And then we would visit my dad's parents, mother, grandmother, his mother, I mean, and then his sister, Ramona. And so that's who we went to visit. So we would visit them and our cousins, and we saw fireflies. I'd never seen a firefly in my life growing up in Arizona. And, but my grandmother, for the probably maybe week that we stayed at her house, she had rooms in her house. She had like built onto her house this whole section so that we could have a place to stay in her home. And the furniture was my parents' furniture. So it was the furniture that was in my parents' room when we stayed at my grandmother's house. So I had been, for years, I spending the night at my mom's house after I moved out, which I did periodically. I would stay at my mom's house and I would sleep in that bed. And my mom would buy like all kinds of bedding for it. And, you know, and I'm just thinking about this moment. I'm not sure where all the bedding is, but I know where the bedding is that my grandmother had for it. And I was telling my son last night, you know, that back then they didn't have fitted sheets. And he was like, well, how'd you keep your sheet on? And I was like, well, you had to tuck it in properly. This was back in, you know, a long time ago. And it's actually this bedroom set is probably over 100 years old or 100 years old. It probably is. Maybe slightly less, but at least 80. So what ends up happening is that I pick out this particular bedding, this particular bed and set, and my sister had gotten a storage place in Phoenix, and I had been sitting in Phoenix, and then my sister has bought a place, I'm not really going to say where, it is like close to, oh God, I can't even think of the name of it right now. Oh, I can't believe I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, but it's about 100 miles from where I live, where my condo is, where I am staying right now. And so she had it in the garage at her place where she's living now. And so she had called me recently and had said something about the furniture. So I realized that I had to put a fire under my rear end to get me in gear to go pick up the furniture that my sister has been lugging around for 2 years now, decided to take that off her hands, and a bookshelf. That has a lot of meaning to me. I know this sounds really crazy, but this bookshelf has a lot of meaning for me because my mother loved books. And I got a whole bunch of my mother's books that are, I've tried to organize, and I tried to buy this one bookshelf, and it just, it's terrible. It's not right. They don't fit. So I plan to take all the books out of and see how many fit, and I'm contemplating letting some books go, although I just don't know if I can, because I love books. I love books. But anyway, so I just had this idea, you know, what if, you know, I rent a van and go pick up the furniture? So my youngest child obliged me and helped me, and we went and picked up the furniture. And I got to telling him the story about, you know, the fact that this furniture was my mom's and my parents at my grandmother's house. And I don't think that I could convey how much my grandmother, like, is in the fabric of who I am. My grandmother, not even saying a word, had such, just by her actions, had such an impact on me. She, when we came, she just took care of us. She baked pies. She had beautiful dinners. She put out the china. She invited neighbors, like, she, you know, these cardboard tables, and there would be like lots of people eating in her home. She was so hospitable. And she would sew quilts, and she would crochet, and she would needlepoint, and she just had this impact on me that I don't know, it's just woven in the fabric of who I am, what I learned from my grandmother, without her even saying you should do these things. She never said that. It was just who she was that impacted me. And I was thinking about and telling my son about how it's like minus my mother and minus me. So you've got my grandmother, my mom, and then me. And that fabric is done. In this sense, I mean, my children are getting from me what I learned from my grandmother, but they don't know that it, a lot of it was from my grandmother. They think it was from me. That's just mom. And the weird thing is seeing my kids, my children doing the things that I did for them, they're starting to do those things for me. And I am gaining the benefit of all of the years that I just was, and my children were watching me, and it became the fiber of who they were. Without saying a word. I didn't preach to my kids. It's like, you know. But I was thinking about, it was very sad to me that my children have no idea who my grandmother was and the meaning of this furniture. And like, it occurs to me, you know, that I could pass away and my children would have no idea the things that are in this house, this home here, and the meaning that they had behind them. They would see them, but they wouldn't understand the meaning necessarily. And explaining it, it's like, it's just, I remember all these little stories being told to me, and it's just like, well, you know, oh, you know, it's like, I don't really care about that. I mean, if you're going to be really honest, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't really care about that much. And it's kind of like, why are you telling me this? I don't care. Why would I care about that? Which is kind of a sad thought. So I've heard it said that we really should just live our life the way we want to live it, because we're going to pass away, and there may be a few people in our life who are impacted, a very few who are truly impacted by our passing. There, you know, they may talk about us at Christmas, you know, around our birthday. They may post things on social media about this person, but like, we become very insignificant in a way. Upon our passing, some will miss us, like our immediate people. But like, even one ripple away from our immediate group, and they're not really even going to miss us that much. Not really. Or they might miss us for a little bit. There might be a season of the first without us. But like, so basing our life decisions on the impact on other people, we shouldn't do that necessarily. And I'm not talking about like decisions and like hurting people, but I feel like a lot of times we really are considering so many things, and they're not even going to remember. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that we really should live the way that we desire to live, as long as it's not hurting anyone. But like, doing the things that we really want to do. Yeah, it's like, I was talking to my brother-in-law. He's the closest thing to a brother I've ever had. And he said he's going to retire. He's pretty young to retire, I think, but I'm glad he is. I'm glad he has the resources to retire. I think that's wonderful. I said, you know, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to fish. You know? And it's like being able to do what you want to do. I mean, he's finally going to be able to not work for anyone. He's going to be able to just chillax and just live his life. Which sounds like a really good idea, doesn't it? We could all find a way to retire and have a steady income stream coming in. So anyway, these were just thoughts that I was having, you know, that it's just so strange that my children, you know, they don't even know my dad. They never met my dad. I can tell them stories about my dad who had a huge impact on my life, and they have the benefit of my dad. My children have the benefit of my dad that lives in me. But they've never directly met him. And so it's just so, the whole thing is just kind of so strange, you know. They're not going to know, you know, and I'm like kind of reminding them, because I get kind of scared that they may accidentally throw something away that is of value because they don't know what it is. I mean, how often is that happening? You find some treasure in, you know, the Goodwill store. Oh, I remember the place. It's Payson. remembered finally. Oh, thanks God. My memory is not always so good. My sister has moved someplace close to, is going to be moving someplace close to Payson to live out her life in a quiet place where she can shoot pictures, because she's a photographer, pictures of the Milky Way and the moon. I'm sure she'll be on all kinds of adventures. Anyway, I sure appreciate you listening. I hope that you all had a really nice holiday, whatever you celebrate. And I wish you well in the new year. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap.